Time to show the world that top is what I strive for. Greatness is a journey I'm willing to strive for. Consistency is key and I don't take no time off. Against the odds, I put it all on the line for. A lesson learned for every flaw I'm gonna make. Consequence I undertake. Putting all my trust in fate. Failure won't become my fate. 10 toes down, I never fold. Give it all to reach my goal. As my name is stone, when my story's told. Say I did it for
your life. And did you bring an idealist?
I did. I got my paper right here.
In paper. Okay. Go. Old school.
Yeah.
Old school. Awesome. Yeah. I also saw that you posted quite a few cool ideas on Twitter already. So are these the same or are these new ideas?
Because some of them are the ones I posted on Twitter and then there's some new ones. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Awesome. Nice. So what idea do you want to start with?
I want to start with the podcast discussion group. So this is the one that I think you reached out to me on, and I'm still really liking this idea. So basically, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and at the end of all these podcasts, I always kind of want to keep talking about these ideas. My First Million is probably my favorite podcast, and it always makes me think about business ideas, but I don't really have any friends that I can talk to about it. So I'm thinking, create like an online community where you can have Zoom calls like the one we're on right now, and talk with like other fans of podcasts and just like kind of continue the conversation. So it seems like people might be interested in this. I got some feedback on Twitter. It sounds like there are people who would want this. Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's really funny because I have exactly the same experiences. And I also know like zero entrepreneurial people in real life. It's totally crazy. And yeah. If there wasn't something like My First Million on all these great communities that exist, like Indie Hackers, yeah, I would have gotten a regular job. But now, thanks to the internet, we at least know that this possibility exists, right? And it's really cool. But yeah, I have exactly the same problem that I'm struggling to find people with the same interests. And of course, you have like the big communities like Indie Hackers, Product Hunt, and what else. But the problem always is that it's so anonymous, right? It's not, you never really get to know people. And I experimented with different kind of online learning formats in the past. And I personally find that one-on-one calls work best. So this is my experience. And I really tried from big ones to really small groups and to one-on-ones. And even like five people or six people is too much in my experience. So I think, and in fact, this is why I started this podcast. So like exactly what you are describing, just as an excuse to talk to interesting people about product ideas. And so this is like a workaround, but probably not everyone wants to start a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, like now, if you created something like this, this podcast discussion groups, I could imagine people would want to record these conversations and maybe as a way to like create their own podcast if they don't know people to talk with. So from the content creation side, I could see this being interesting too. Have you heard of Capiche? It launched recently, a couple of days ago.
Oh, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. So what Capiche is it's this online radio service. You just call up on your phone and you can like kind of host a radio program and you can like get listeners to talk on it. And
then it's like Clubhouse.
Yeah, I think so. I haven't used Clubhouse, so I don't know too much about it. Have you used it at all?
Yeah, I got invited like a week ago and haven't used it much. So I personally find it somewhat weird. So I'm not sure how to use it. But it sounds exactly like this. So you can open like a room and there you can talk and people can join your room. You can decide who can join. So it's this drop-in audio concept, right?
Yeah. Now, so what Capiche does that's cool is at the end of the conversations, you can post, you can like actually upload it as a podcast and they take care of all of the work for you. So it's kind of just a really easy way to launch a podcast and get listeners. So
yeah, sounds super interesting, but how? What's the domain? So I tried to find it, but I have no idea how to write it.
It's C-A-P...
With C, okay.
C-A-P-I-C-H-E. Capiche. I would search Capiche Radio and
Radio.
Capiche.fm. Capiche.fm. So .fm. And so, I guess, so they turn phone calls into live stream radio shows. So this just launched a couple of days ago. So we'll have to see if it gets any traction. But a lot of people are talking about it. So,
Looks really cool. So, but what I think is always the biggest hurdle is that people think they can only do this kind of thing if they have lots of followers. So like, start a podcast, no one will listen to it, so why should I start it? And people are afraid to do it. And it's actually the same with Clubhouse. Like, you see, it's just a big guy starting their channels, and it's basically just like a live podcast. So, okay, yeah. Nothing revolutionary. And yeah, I think this is really something where this kind of thing you described could help, because, yeah, most people are too afraid to start a podcast, or simply don't want to do a podcast. Maybe they want to just have personal, private conversations and not share it with the world, right?
Yeah.
So maybe the obvious problem, of course, then would be monetization. So, and that you have a chicken egg problem, like with all these kind of matchmaking services. Yeah, but yeah. At least I agree that it would be amazing, but it's really hard. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to pull off, right? And have you done anything in that direction? So did you run any experiment or?
I've been just looking into like no code solutions to build it. I had never experienced any like no code tools before and never tried them, but I've been playing around with Bubble a little bit and seeing how feasible that is. Now, I was looking at your blog a little bit, and so it sounds like you have like a technical background.
Yeah, I studied physics, so.
Studied physics, okay. Oh.
Yeah, I'm able to program stuff, but I'm not a programmer, if you want to.
Okay, yeah.
So the only thing I learned when I studied physics is like confidence. So if you study a hard subject like this, then you will just get the confidence that you're able to figure out anything, and it's exactly like this. So I have the confidence to build stuff. But yeah, I really become converted to the whole no-code thing, I have to admit. So I really started thinking that I just want to program stuff, but then I discovered like Airtable, Gumroad, and yeah, you don't need to program to build cool stuff.
Yeah. But, I mean, because I come from like a similar background. Right now I'm studying mechanical engineering, and I had done a little bit of coding on the side, and then I discovered these no-code tools, and it was like kind of mind-blowing that I could do like no work and didn't have to worry about all that and get like some pretty amazing results. So
yeah, especially I'm to test bullish. Stuff. Yeah. Yeah. If you just want to test stuff like this marketplace where the most difficult thing is to attract people, and yeah, it would be really stupid to spend like 6 months, a year just to build the marketplace, and then it's just crickets, right? No one shows up. And so, and how far did you get with Bubble?
Yeah, so I was able to do like a login page and connect that with the database and then accept payments. And I'm working on integrating it with Zoom. Just really simple, just create one large Zoom call. And I figured like you could just do breakout rooms. Otherwise, it would be just too, I couldn't figure out how to like do individual calls without having the users just kind of set it up themselves.
Yeah.
But I have finals in a couple of weeks, so I've been kind of busy. But
the plan really is to make this into a paid kind of product, so not free.
Yeah, I think the advantage of paid is just increase the quality of users. Otherwise, I think it's too easy to just get like low quality conversations happening. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I'm all for paid stuff. So. And it's probably a lot of work to, I don't know, moderate and keep the whole thing active. So if you just earn a little bit of money, it's a lot more motivating. And if it's worth anything, then people will pay for it. And if it isn't worth, then yeah, it's dead anyway. So doesn't matter. But yeah, I had an idea that goes somewhat in that direction a while ago. And I was thinking about exactly the same problem, like how can you connect with like-minded people? How can you bring them together? And I mean, the idea you have is that people connect over podcast episodes. And I think it's amazing. And my idea was probably exactly the same, except that I was focusing on books at the time. And my idea was just, hey, people can submit the last book they read, and then they get matched to someone who read the same book.
Like,
recently, and then they can organize a Zoom call and talk about the book. And this is like a perfect starting point. This was the whole idea. And also I wanted to experiment with it, just put up a landing page with a form. It's really just a form where it says, enter the last book or maybe the last three books you read and want to talk about. And yeah, that's it. And I'm not sure if it would work, but I wanted to experiment with it. And maybe this would also be a possibility for Europe.
Yeah.
So like just start with a form, a page with a form where it says, yeah, I love listening to this podcast. And then you get matched to another listener And the big advantage is that you have zero like technical stuff to figure out, because I think in the beginning you could do the matchmaking even manually if just a few people sign up. So you can match them and send an email to these two people, and they can figure even out the Zoom call themselves.
Yeah, that's a good idea actually, yeah.
Because I remember that this is a problem quite a few people have stumbled upon, that this letting people in a community organize Zoom calls themselves is quite difficult, because with Zoom you need these pro accounts to allow, it's not that simple to create this kind of infrastructure, at least from what I've heard. And I know there are like alternatives like Jitsi, but I haven't looked into it. So the idea I had was just let people figure it out. I only do the matchmaking and then both get an email with the email address of the other person, and let's figure it out.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And I think the book idea, I really like that. I think I've experienced the same problem I had with podcast books. Like, you want to talk about that. And so I think that could definitely work.
So I hope you put something online, and you have nothing to lose thanks to these no code stuff. Or like, for example, if you're using Airtable, which is free, they have like forms automatically you can use and just embed on an HTML page. So it's super easy. And the same with Google, Google Forms is also free, and the entries get immediately written into a Google database, a Google sheet, and then you can do the matchmaking.
Yeah.
Seems like an easy place to start. What else have you got?
All right. Okay. So I had an agency idea along the no-code line, actually. So my parents own a cleaning company, like carpet cleaning and tile and stuff, and a very small operation, like 6 employees. And their technology in the office is pretty shit. They're running everything off of like Excel forms and spreadsheets that they had someone build for them in like 94 or something. So it's a long time, and it's really inefficient. It's clunky, and it's prone to errors. And so they went online and they're trying to find a specific software solution for their problem. And so what they're using these Excel forms for is customer data. They go around to people's houses, they measure the size of the room, and they record it. So then they know, like, they can give an estimate of how much their services are going to cost. And so every customer has their own sheet. But like, as you can imagine, it's a pain, because now they're manually inputting it into Excel, and then they're creating like work orders based on it. It's a horrible solution, and there's not really a good alternative. There's not like a easy to use software solution available. So I was thinking, like, create an agency that builds like custom no code solutions for these small businesses that have problems like my parents. And then, so you could like work one-on-one with these small businesses, create these products in a really short amount of time and sell it to them. And then you could turn it around. And if it's like a broad enough problem, you can try and sell it to other businesses in the same niche. So you can sort of monetize it twice in that way.
Yeah, that sounds like a really great idea. And it sounds as if you would be able to make money right now. So there's really nothing you would need to get started. So you just, of course, need to know the tools and spend a little time. But especially since you mentioned that your parents would be your first customers, and they probably know quite a few people with similar problems, right? So really cool. So do you have any plans to do that? Because it seems pretty obvious that it would work.
Yeah.
So I would bet money that you can make money. I'm not sure how much money you can make, of course, but a few thousand per month, it seems pretty obvious, right?
Yeah. So I've been looking into it a little bit. This guy I found out about on Twitter has an agency course talking more about like lead gen and website building. So I bought that, and I've been looking into that, just like the general agency business model, and like, just kind of build off of what other people are doing. And then someone from my writing group reached out, because I posted about this on Twitter, and he was interested. So I'm going to talk to him about that in a couple of days. But I think that with this idea, and there are just, the great thing about agency model is like, there are just so many small businesses, just millions of small businesses. So it's pretty hard to oversaturate, even if like 100,000 people had already had the same idea that I had, which I don't think they have. It's really hard to oversaturate this market.
So just having looked, what's the name of the agency course? So is it really just the agency course by Matthew Paik?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, it's because, I built this GumSpy tool which tracks Gumroad products, and this is one that stuck out to me because he's making so much money with it. Like, so my estimate is like $60,000 a month.
That is insane. Oh my God.
Yeah, it seems to be working, right? So so you bought it and it really is useful. So you can recommend it.
I can recommend it. It's been really good so far. I'm about a third of the way through and there's been some good stuff.
And is it just video or?
It's just video. So yeah, it's just a bunch of, it's about 8 hours of content, I think, 8 or 10 hours. So there's a lot
That's a lot. Yeah. So I know other people are selling like 1 hour courses for a similar price point.
Yeah.
So, and I think he started really cheap, if I remember correctly. Yeah.
So it's, I want to say it was like $50. Yeah.
Yeah. It's now at 75. It's, but still relatively cheap for this niche. So cool. Yeah, I'm just having a look at it. But this is always where the real money is, right? Teaching people how to make money. If you look at the Gumroad marketplace, it's really, how to make money with investments, how to make money with flipping, how to make money with an agency. So these are the top selling stock guru phone flipping course. So these are the guys who are really making the killing, not the people who flip phones or whatever. But yeah, I think out of all these ideas that are sold on these kind of marketplaces, I think the agency thing is the one that really works. I think because you put in the effort, you provide value and you get paid accordingly. It's not the get rich quick or passive income bullshit, right? Yeah. So, but you're studying chemical engineering and mechanical engineering. Yeah. Sorry. And so you're not happy with it if you're looking into like these alternatives?
I think I really enjoy the subject. I don't see the career path to be as like appealing as I originally thought. I just kept seeing all these stories of people working in jobs they didn't like, and it wasn't the same exciting stuff that I was learning in school. And I guess I never really thought that starting a business was like a actual thing you could just do. I think my first introduction of like caring about like startups and like the startup scene was How I Built This. I don't know if you ever listened to that podcast. Yeah, so I listened to that, and that was all about like these big founders creating these huge like $1 billion companies. And I was like, oh, this is cool. This sounds really interesting, but this isn't for me. This is like, you have to be like kind of incredible to start this. So then listening to My First Million, it was like, hey, actually normal people can start businesses on the internet and they can make really good money doing it. And that was the first time I started thinking, wait, maybe I could actually do this. So I'm still really early in this and still trying to figure out like how to make it work. But
At the very least, it's great to have this option, right? So, and because I mean, it was similar for me, or somewhat similar, because there's no way to do physics outside of the university. So it was clear that I had to change, and I know what you can do. And so most of the people who study physics do some kind of programming gig afterwards or consulting gigs. So these are the two standard routes to go, and both are pretty horrible in my humble opinion. So I actually went to like McKinsey events and all these kind of stuff. It's just not my tribe. It's not my kind of people. And the same with the programming. So like, you have these two groups of people, that like the energetic ones that really want to move stuff, and they end up in consulting because this is a dream they are selling, right? And the other group who wants to focus a bit more on the family side end up in programming, because you can get a job at SAP, for example, where the job is boring, but you get good money. And these are the two dreams. And I think, doing something entrepreneurial is a great alternative. And it's really not about like building Amazon, Facebook, whatever, right? Yeah. So my living expenses are, I think, around 1,000 euros. So incredible low. And really, that's all I need. And it's not hard to earn 1,000. So it isn't, right? If you know these kind of tweets, they always do well. But it really works like this. So if you break down like 1,000 or 2,000 or whatever you need per month down to sales or days, it's ridiculously little that you need. Like if you're selling a $30 or $50 product or service, then how many sales do you need per month to pay for your living? So it's not much. And the freedom you're getting is really amazing. So
yeah.
And what are the typical jobs with mechanical?
Well, starting out, There, a lot of them are quite boring. A lot of just like reviewing kind of other people's work and writing reports, working just kind of a cog in the machine. You're kind of just analyzing stuff, making sure that someone's design isn't going to destroy, isn't going to like break into the pressure of these things. So like, I'm interested in more like the design thing, like designing cool shit, which I realized wasn't a thing with mechanical engineering. Kind of like, it's all just like working on these really small parts of these big projects. So like, you're not going to actually build the airplane. You're going to build like one hatch on the airplane or something. So yeah. And then I was also looking into software engineering. I've taken a couple of classes and I kind of explored that route too. And I think like computer science is really interesting, but it looked like most software engineering jobs were really just these CRUD apps. It's kind of all like the same thing. It just seemed like in the long run, it would get kind of boring. I still think like the pay is good for software engineering. It's still a good path, but actually, when you can make your own business online, that's a more appealing option. And
yeah, it's really about creativity, right? So because you're not a cog in a machine, you're doing the whole thing. Really, from idea to finished product, it's all in your hands. And this is really amazing. So.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
And you mentioned a writing group you're in?
Yeah, so I'm doing this thing called Ship 30 for 30. I found out about it on Twitter. And so what it is every day you write this screenshot essay, this really short, like 200 to 400 word essay, and you post it on Twitter. And so we pay this guy, Dickie Bush, $50 to get in this group. And then at the end of the 30 days, if you post it every single day, you get your money back. So there's two levels of accountability. Is you have this group. So I'm in this Slack community. And so you're held accountable through that. And you're also held accountable because you want to get your money back. So it's been a good experience just like getting myself out there writing every day. And I think actually this whole model of like learning communities, I'm really excited about it. It seems like a really effective way to learn a new skill, whether it be like writing, or the other guy is Jack Butcher with his visualized value course. I think there's a lot of opportunity still for people to create these learning communities like this one. So
yeah, the Dickie Bush thing sounds amazing. So I wasn't aware of that. I only saw like the tweets pop up. So like yours and from a few other people, but I wasn't aware that there's like a community and this accountability model behind it. And it sounds absolutely amazing because, as you probably know, this is the biggest problem in online learning that all the big platforms haven't figured out. So there's Udemy and Coursera and whatever. And all these MOOCs have the problem that no one finishes the courses, right?
Yeah.
So you watch one video lecture and that's it. And maybe two. So, and no one actually finishes them, and it's all about accountability. So what is the university really offering, right? In comparison to what is currently online. And yeah, people notice pretty quickly that you can't just put a videotape of a lecture online and it's the same as a university, because like in real life in the university, you have like the group pressure and accountability stuff going on, and it's completely missed online. Yeah. And I really love the idea of like getting your money back if you do it. And you mentioned that in addition to this, you even get an accountability partner.
So this is like the first time he's done this whole writing group. Right now, it's just like currently evolving a lot. We'd started off where you're in this group of four people and the engagement wasn't very high. So he just recently switched to like, now we're going to get like one-on-one accountability buddies, basically. So it's a cool model. Actually, what you were talking about, it reminds me of a Naval quote, like, the resources for learning are abundant. It's the desire to learn that's scarce. I think that's just holds so true.
Yeah, but I think it's not really just about desire, because as you see, all the people sign up for Coursera courses and Udemy courses, so they certainly have the desire, or they're curious, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And it's really getting through it, and even when things get a bit tough and you're not really motivated, you still show up and do it. And accountability is the way to go, absolutely. And I'm just trying to think of what this kind of model would look like in other contexts. Right. So, but yeah, you can really transport it over to really anything. So just, for example, you know, Peter Levels had this famous 12 projects in 12 months challenge. And I'm currently doing something similar. And yeah, you could even start something like this exactly with the same model. So there's would be pretty cool too, because I know that quite a lot of people tried to do what Peter did, and I think just one or two people actually made it. So they really got to like 12 products in 12 months. And most people just give up or whatever. Really cool idea. And you can even make money with it, because most people probably will fail. And I just remember that Justin Maris did something similar with blood sugar testing. So, you know, there are these new real-time glucose measurements that you can put on your arm. And then they measure your glucose levels all day long. And he did this experiment where he offered people, I don't know, I can't remember how much they had to pay him, but like, I don't know, $200. And for every day they stay below the baseline, so they don't eat unhealthy stuff, right? They get a certain amount of money back. So it's the same idea, just for diet.
That's a fantastic idea, honestly. I remember hearing about that on My First Million, and I think it's a great idea. So many people want to lose weight, but so many people have trouble sticking to diets. So
yeah,
I think that's great. And then the other idea that I think they talked about on that, along that model, was like having real-time cortisol monitors, like use the same technology just to measure stress levels. And I love that idea too, because I think our culture is just so stressed right now. And so being able to like implement something that can reduce that would be great.
Yeah, it sounds really cool, because then you can really find out what is stressing you, right? So in what kind of situations are you getting stressed out? And are these devices already working? So you can already buy them?
I don't think so. My understanding was that someone just looked into it, and her initial thought was that it would be technically possible, but it sounds like no one's done this yet. Yeah, so maybe it's not actually possible, but we'll have to see if someone actually builds this.
Yeah, probably. I mean, if they can measure glucose or whatever, and they will make a killing. So really, really cool. But yeah, if these kind of devices come on the market, then someone will do the same accountability experiment with stress, right? So another great idea. Of course, again, so these are not ideas you can, I think, make big buck, really a lot of money with, right? So these are really just more about helping people than to earn serious money. So like, for example, Dickie Brush is probably not getting rich. So.
But now I think he's gaining an audience and a following from this that's going to be far more valuable than any money he could make. And, and then like there are guys like David Perel who run courses in writing. And I think that like I could see that being the model. Like once you establish yourself as like the writing expert, then you could start charging for a course later on. So, but just building a following is just so valuable. If it's an engaged following.
This is something that absolutely amazes me, that people are willing to pay so much money for writing courses. What I understand is when people pay like good money for this flipping, investing, whatever courses, because it's the usual kind of thinking, you will make your money back in like a week. So it's a no-brainer. But David and also Thiago Forte charging for their courses is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous,
They are charging like thousands of dollars. If you watch lectures by David and Thiago, so basically they are giving everything away for free. As always, there are no secrets. Right.
Yeah.
There are no secrets. You can find anything online, and you can even find anything he will teach to you online for free. So if you just go to YouTube and listen to the interviews and the stuff he put out. So all the advice he's giving, and I'm 100% sure is out there for free. So what are people actually paying? It's crazy. And I think what he did is, and what is really smart is this cohort thing, right? So that it's not, you can start a course whenever you want, but only at certain times. And then you are within a certain small group, and then it becomes more about the networking aspect, I think.
I mean, I know one person who went through that had some pretty big success was Brandon Zhang. Have you heard of this guy?
Yeah, it rings a bell.
His story is pretty crazy. He's a freshman in college right now. He started a blog a couple months ago after doing this David course. And he started a podcast, and he's had some pretty incredible guests on already. And he has like 10,000 Twitter followers. So I think that's a pretty incredible success story.
And has David like a page with the success stories?
So sure, I was I'm thinking. Not sure. I bet he has something somewhere, but I've just heard it from Brandon's Twitter account. He's just talked about how he got his start with the Rite of Passage, I think it's called.
Did you talk to him or did he write about it anywhere?
I think he just read about it on his Twitter. I've not talked to him. Oh, but cool.
Yeah, because yeah, this is certainly something I would find interesting. Like, what are people actually getting out of this? So
yeah,
because it's certainly not the writing advice. So it's certainly not that. Because you know, there are amazing books that you can buy for $7 that teach you everything you need to know. Or maybe you can just start with this blog post by the Dilbert creator, like the day you became a better writer, and it's probably already enough. You know everything you need to know. And yeah, it really is like this. So writing is not some kind of magic.
It's just art. Like write often and then
do it constantly.
Basic writing advice. You know, I've found a great resource for that, julian.com. This guy Julian Shapiro, he has some really great, and then he has some stuff on growth marketing too that really interesting.
Yeah, but funnily, so to be honest, I think his writing guide is poorly written. So no, really, because it's pretty obvious what he did. So he wrote his thing and then he tried to follow his own advice. And the usual advice is always cut out everything, right?
Yeah.
You need to trim it down, no fat. And it's really like a staccato, super dry read. It's just boom, 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 boom. It's, I don't know. It's not what I would define as good writing. So, and in my opinion.
That's fair. I'm no expert on this stuff. So yeah, that's a fair point then.
But yeah, he's obviously successful with what he's doing. Yeah. It was just my impression from this guide. I didn't like reading it. So probably the advice in there is good. And actually, I am surprised. David has no testimonials.
Really? Huh.
Absolutely crazy.
That is crazy.
And yeah. And like, he has success stories. So he could easily put up like 20, 50, whatever.
Yeah.
Really strange. So no idea.
Yeah.
And you know, like others are doing this over and over and even faking it because it's so valuable. And you know, for example, just one example I'm thinking about is like the Trends newsletter, trends.co. And they have exactly one example where someone started a company that's now making $1 million or whatever based on a Trends report. And of course it's on the landing page, this thing, right? if you have this kind of story, you should put it.
Yeah.
But okay, I will do some research on the Brandon guy because I find it really interesting. And but maybe just one thought I had on this is that this hidden benefit of these courses that people never talk about is that the big guy who is hosting the course, of course, has a big interest in your success. So he, of course, will help you in some way or another. And, you know, for example, if just David Perel puts out one tweet saying, hey, check out this essay, it's really great, puts in his newsletter, this is already this huge boost that you need probably just to get over the initial hurdle.
Yeah.
And this is maybe even a lot of the value that you're getting. just one random thing. But yeah, I can imagine that this is at least worth some money. So
yeah.
I guess you have a few more ideas. So
yeah, let's see. Oh, okay. Have you heard of the documentary, The Social Dilemma?
I've heard of it. I haven't watched it. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's the best documentary, honestly. I didn't love it, but it's really popular right now. And I think people are really kind of concerned about these social media apps because they're kind of trying to exploit you. You're the product, right? Not the customer. So the social network product it's a horrible business model. It's a horrible product to start just because you have to build this network before anyone wants to use it. But my idea is building a bad social network, just basically a social media app that is purposely not well made. It's like has shitty UI and it doesn't push a bunch of notifications to you. It's just very minimalistic. So you kind of don't want to use it. But what I would do is make it like a paid app. So instead of being the product, now you're the customer. And so because I think there's a need for social media. There's a need to connect with other people online. But doing it in a way where it's like you're using this product not because it's designed in this way to exploit your psychology, but instead just because you genuinely want to connect with other people I think it could be like an interesting marketing shtick. Like, we make a bad looking app with a horrible UI, and it'd be really cheap to build then because it's not
it has to be bad, right?
It has to be bad.
You know what this reminds me of? You probably saw the hype around the Fast app and the Fast checkout thing. And then someone built like the opposite, like the slowest checkout experience. And yeah, it obviously was just a joke. So just a landing page, and all the ways in the forms are really awkward, and it takes a long time to actually do the payment. But then people started to think about it, and actually it's a smart idea, because maybe fast payments are not in your best interest as a customer, right? Of course, if you're a shop, it's in your interest that people do these kind of impulse buys. So just one click and you already bought it without thinking much about it. But if you have this like slow process, it's actually valuable. I actually do this myself. For example, I'm not saving certain passwords, and I make it harder on myself to pay for certain stuff, because then you're starting thinking about, oh, is it really worth it now? I buy less stuff if it's hard to buy stuff. And so the idea you just described sounds somewhat along these lines, right? So,
What that reminds me of is the tax code in the US. It's so hard in the US to actually file taxes. It's this whole big day, and hiring accountants are using these like tax software. And people have for years now been trying to simplify the system. So all you do is the government sends you a bill, you pay it, or maybe you dispute it, you add deductions. But Republicans specifically have been advocating against for this, because the logic is, if it's super easy to pay for your taxes, you're not going to think as much about everything that's included in there.
Okay, I understand the logic, but still it's bullshit. We have exactly the same problem here in Germany. So the tax laws are ridiculous, and they are actually worse in Germany. So we are actually the champions. No, it's not a joke. Yeah. We are the world champions in terms of how many taxes there are. And also when it comes to like the size of the taxes, like on second place, only after Belgium, I think. In income tax, it's crazy. And you waste so much time on taxes, or you pay some accountant a ridiculous amount of money for, it's just a job that shouldn't exist, right? And they should just send you a bill. And if you want to do the research, or I mean, it's not about doing the research, but doing like these custody checks. So if the bill is roughly in the right ballpark, right, then you're saying, okay, it's of course, if they're suddenly charging, too much, then you will do your research. But if it seems right, then it seems right, and we would all save so much money and so much time. I think the bad social app would be cool as like a marketing stunt, but I can't see people actually use
it. Yeah, it's hard to say. I think it could get a lot of hype just riding off the trend of like deleting social media. I agree that it might not last. Yeah,
but as a like a marketing stunt, it's a cool idea. Awesome. So any other ideas?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I heard about this idea on Twitter, not my own, but I think it's interesting. Have you used Roam at all? I used it a little before it became premium only. I haven't been paying for it anymore, but someone suggested the idea of Roam books, just building out books that are in Roam. And so that way, it seems like a lot of books aren't really linear in their ideas. A lot of ideas are connected. So just being able to have this sort of network of all the different ideas contained in a book, I really like that, because I think it's a better way to learn than just a lot of times when I'm reading a book, I kind of skim through, I go back and forth to different areas, and I think that would make it really easy. And now the problem is I wouldn't want to read a book on my computer, but at least for just using it as kind of like a resource, trying to find an idea really quickly and say like doing research or something, I think that would be much easier to try, instead of having to jump between different pages, and it's just kind of all connected already.
So it's really funny that you bring that up, because I've thought so much about this. So no joke. And it's a topic I absolutely love. And because I thought a lot about learning while I studied physics, and also about how textbooks work, and exactly what you said, that learning is non-linear, but books have this like linear structure, and it's certainly not effective. And why has no one come up with something better? And actually, the concept, of course, already exists, like hypertext books, right? You could rename them to choose your own adventure kind of books, right? Yeah, but just choose your own adventure kind of books, but for nonfiction. The hardest part is what you mentioned, that it's not enjoyable to read these kind of books. So in particular, like reading stuff in Rome is not a good experience. So writing in Rome is fun, but whenever someone shares Rome stuff with you, it's just, it's not useful. It's just too confusing. It's just not great. But do you know the notes by Andy Matushak?
Oh, no.
I think he has figured out a pretty cool solution to this problem. And let me just send it to you.
Okay.
So,
it just keeps popping up on the side. You just have, you have a bunch of things.
And the journey continues. Like, you can always go back. Yeah. Like, you create your own linear structure, but your own path through the book.
Oh, yeah. Notes.
And so, there are lots of people who share their notes online and digital gardens and all these kind of things. But the only one where I really had fun reading through it is this one. And it's really because of the technology. It's really because of this. It's really fun and it's enjoyable. His content is great. So, of course, this is an important part.
This is cool,
So,
I love that. That's really cool.
Yeah, and the thing is that, so he has specifically this note on his landing page, on his on the first page, that many people ask, so I'll note here, no, I haven't made the system available for others to use. It's still an early research environment. So lots of people love this, but he hasn't shared it. So it's just his custom build in Brixham. But in fact, do you know TiddlyWiki?
No.
It's just a piece of software you can use for your personal notes. So even though it has a name Wiki, it's not really for collaboration. So you can use it for collaborations, but it's not the intended use case. And it's really cool because it's like a single page application. You really just have one file, one HTML file with some JavaScript in it, and it's the whole it's the whole thing. But someone actually created a theme for TiddlyWiki, which is exactly what Andy did here. So it's really cool. So if someone wants to build something like this, you can just use TiddlyWiki with a theme. It's called Crystal with a K. It's on GitHub, and you can just download it there. I absolutely think that someone should experiment with this.
This is so cool. I love this. Yeah. Now, what are you using for your blog right now?
Jekyll.
Okay. I've been experimenting with Hugo a little bit, and
it's similar, right? Yeah.
Yeah. A static site generator. So, have you been liking it?
I love Jekyll. It's the best thing ever. And, like everyone else, I started by experimenting with WordPress and I just hate it.
It's
horrible. Yeah. And I have no idea why it got so popular. I just don't understand it because it's such an overkill for the use case. For a simple blog, you don't need a database. It's bullshit. Why do you need a database for a blog, right? It makes zero sense. And because of this database, WordPress sites get hacked all the time, right?
Yeah.
And they are slow and buggy and you have all kinds of problems. And if you
and you're running like 20 plugins on it. And
security holds everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And it's really crazy that like WordPress came first and the static site stuff later. Right. So it really should be the opposite.
Yeah. And then, so do you just do it with like a local markdown file and then you just commit? Because I've been doing that. And then I've been looking into Forestry. Have you heard of Forestry.io?
Yeah.
So, I mean, but if you use it with Forestry, even if you're a non-technical person, you don't need to know how to use Git. You could build this for someone else. And so I love static site generator. I just learned about them pretty recently, but I think it's so cool.
That's super smart because the scary part of all these static site generators is that you have to write like markdown and then you have to commit it to GitHub. And of course, even though GitHub of course has like a graphical user interface you can use, it's still, I believe, scary for most people, but they just built like a wrapper around the backend stuff. So, and cool. Yeah. It looks really useful. Forestry, and it's free. Cool.
Yeah, it's cool. And then the cool thing about these services is like you can build a blog, and the only thing you really need to buy is the domain name, which these days for like $2 a year if you get like a weird
XYZ dot XYZ. Yeah. So do you have a personal website?
I have a domain for it, but I haven't actually written anything on it. I'm not not happy with the I've just been using a Hugo theme right now, and I don't think it's gonna actually work out, but I was just really quickly experimenting, seeing how this all works.
I just had a look at your Twitter profile and there's no website.
Yeah, I haven't connected it. Yeah.
And what domain ending did you get?
I got .com. My full, yeah, and it was cheap because no one has my exact name. My last name is spelled kind of weird. So luckily I could get that handy. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Lucky to get the exact name in like 2020. Right.
That's, yeah, I know.
That's rare. So
yeah. No, I feel like these days you gotta like name your kid based on domain names, right? You gotta
this is why people use all these crazy names. Now it all makes sense, right?
Sorry, that's
exactly.
What a stupid great for SEO.
Great for branding. Yeah. So this was really a lot of fun. And
yeah.
Thank you so much. We should do this again.